listening to Heaving Bosoms, the podcast where best friends recap romance novels while vehemently disliking sneaky leakage. HBs, I hope you're ready to get back into the world of the Fever series. When we left off yesterday, Mac was in Ireland trying to find her sister's killer and ended up finding a whole lot more. Here's part two of Dark Fever by Karen Marie Monin. When I asked her if he was a druid earlier, she had the audacity to ask me, wouldn't you like to know?
That is the most her response
I know I've ever heard.
That's why I wasn't even there.
Yeah, so Mac is the least mysterious bitch because Rebecca has all of the mystery.
Yeah. Rebecca's a locked
woman
box.
Of mystery on the Canadian plains.
I feel like I've spoiled so much already.
You haven't spoiled nearly enough, frankly. I have so many questions, but now that I've decided, I'm reading it.
We'll do a lightning round later.
There we go.
I'm
okay,
not gonna
so they get in
them
there.
Later.
All right, now they're there, and then for some reason he doesn't want to touch the thing. He's like, "You get it off the wall," and she's like, "Why don't you get it?" And he's like, "You're standing next to it." Mm-hmm. I don't understand why that whole thing happened, but it did. Because he touches it later, I think. Or he might never touch it.
Have you seen him touch it?
I don't. Not that I recall. So I'm wondering. Yeah, this is when I started wondering if he can't touch it. Mm-hmm. Because he says that it's for her later on.
Yeah.
And then the only other time that it's out of her possession is when she's unconscious and she manages to have it with her later on. So
hey,
one
wait.
Might assume
he does use it at one point when he stabs,
oh, he stabs
through the purse.
That guy. He
through
stabs
the,
that guy.
Through the purse. He's holding the purse.
Oh. He stabs through the purse?
Like he's holding it with the purse and stabs it.
Interesting. Mm. He needs a spear condom. You gotta wrap it up, Jericho. Otherwise, you might regret it.
Spear condom.
Yeah, that's what happened. That's canon. Thank you so much. It's bigger than like a usual canon, unless you're that guy from the UK. And then you just special order them. So anyway, they get in there and he realizes, he kicks himself. And he's like, oh, I didn't even realize. I didn't even see that there were alarms. It's a silent alarm going everywhere and they have to run like crazy.
He definitely knew that there were alarms. He didn't realize. Oh. He was like, I can't believe I didn't know that spear was
the spear
thing.
Was there. Yeah.
Oh, is that
he
what
missed,
it was?
Yeah, he missed that the spear was even there. Like he like
oh my
passed
God,
over
could
it.
Not, could he not even see it?
Or he passed over so it without normal. Even real. Yeah, maybe. Either way.
Interesting. Was he
anyway,
one of those Roman soldiers, Rebecca?
Did he pierce Christ?
Yeah, this is apparently the spear that poked Christ in the belly.
Yeah.
While he was crucified.
And he knew the names of the soldiers who did it, too.
Yeah, maybe
and like
he was
what
their
they
bro.
Liked for lunch. He was like, yeah. He was like, that guy liked a bologna
you think they went
sandwich.
To the they went to the old Roman pub together?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, I bought him
they
a
were
sandwich.
Cafeteria buddies.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
They shared leather sandals.
You know, there is something interesting about this one. Hmm? This part, rather. There's a few philosophies in this book, which I find interesting. And a lot of them have become like quotes in the fandom. State of the Lights is one of them that's often like tattooed.
Ooh, yeah.
That has become like a quote in the fandom, as is.
Have we heard that?
Yeah, State to the
stay
Lights.
Stay in
is...
the Lights. I thought
stay
you said
to
state.
The
state.
No.
To state.
Oh.
Okay.
And Hope Strengthens, Fear Kills is the other one. Ooh. Where he talks about how, like, losing hope is, like, the ultimate self-fulfilling prophecy. Yeah. Where if you, like, start to ask...
One. He's a manifest girly.
Yeah. Like, if you act out of desperation because you've lost all hope, then that becomes, like, your reality. And then that leads you into, like, dangerous paths, I guess. So, and, like, hope strengthens, fear kills is another one that people have tattooed on there. So there's a few, like, philosophies in this series that I just wanted to point out.
Yeah. I like that. And I think now they're going to get chased by mob boys. Yeah, and she's so like, now we're definitely going to die. And he's like, don't say that shit out loud. I am a manifest girly. And you need to speak into the world what you want to happen, not the other stuff.
Yeah, and so they get home that night, though, without anything going on. But the next morning when she wakes up, there's three cars in the back alley, and it's very clear that it was so vivid, too.
There's been a massacre.
I could hear it. Mm-hmm. Like, this is when she realizes that the Dark Zones are where the Shades live, because basically the Dark Zones, listener, are places that the city humans have forgot. So, like, it's still there in the city, but it doesn't show up on maps. If you talk to the police, then they don't know that address. The utility companies don't know those addresses, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And his bookstore is right on the edge of it. And it turns out that it's basically his, like, last line of defense is having his bookstore where it is. Because if somebody's going to come fuck with him at night, he turns off those floodlights and they're shade lunch. And that's exactly what he did. Like, a bunch of dudes from O'Banion's shows up and she doesn't even know. It all swoops and they're just parchment in the wind.
Yeah.
And their clothes and are just left.
Those three cars or four cars or whatever stay out there for, like, the rest of the book.
Yes, nobody ever moves them.
Nobody moves them.
Well, yeah, because nobody knows that they're in the Dark Zone. And so...
But doesn't he turn on the lights again? He has to turn on the lights.
Like, sometimes someone will go around to the back of the bookstore later on and be like, hi, I'm with the police. Knock, knock, knock. Why do you have empty abandoned cars in your back that look like they belong to the O'Banions or whatever?
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, couldn't you have pushed them a little farther away from your freaking
Wouldn't you want to push into the Dark Zone?
Well, also, like, guess what?
The keys are still there. The keys just drive them over.
One of the Jeeps is still going ding. Ding,
she could have literally just moved them herself. Like, yeah. I don't know what she was doing.
It's true. They live there now.
And so he's now decided that she's going to go do some oops detecting on her own. And she needs to go to
the museum.
There's
always a moment in one of these books, isn't there? Oh, no, this isn't the moment. No, he sends her to do the museum stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And he sends her to the National Museum to just wander around and see if there's any, like, things
old
in
shit
plain sight
that make her feel squirmy.
Yeah, he wants to see if she shits her pants in the museum. Yeah. And she does not shit her pants.
No, she creams her pants.
In fact, she almost has sex with that sex boy in the museum.
She literally is wearing a skirt and takes off her underwear without knowing it, looks back on the ground, feeling horny as hell, wonders what that scrap of pink lace is doing back there, goes to look at it and realizes that it's her panties.
Then she starts talking to Vlaine, and then when she, like, comes back to, she's pulled her tits out of her shirt. She's on all fours presenting like a goddamn cat in
Omega.
Heat. Uh-huh. And, like an Omega. And there
bare
are
ass
people
to the world
literally around being like, oh, our tits are nice, right? And, like, nobody...
And it turns out that old lady from the very beginning that whacked her in the side of the head was there the whole time, but she didn't say anything because she can't be known as a she-seer. And then that lady has the gall. She chases her out of the museum and is like, hey, we need to talk. You have to come with me, bitch.
Yeah.
My good bitch. Are you serious right now?
You have proven to me that you're not a girl's girl. Okay.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, understatement of the
year. You're not a pal. Yeah. I don't
and
know
so
why I would
she
trust you with anything.
Tells her to fuck off, but the lady specifically, though, she's like, there's no way you're not an O'Connor. You should talk to your parents.
Yeah.
Ask them if you're adopted, she says.
Yep. And then she can't get it out of her head and she calls. And there was a really beautiful statement in the book where she's like, this is one of those moments looking back where I learned, and I see it continuously over the last, you know, year that my life has all fallen apart.
A demarcation line.
But people don't have to say it out loud to lie. Like, you have to listen to the spaces in between their words to understand what they're actually saying. And when I called my family to ask my dad, or I called to ask my mom, but my dad wouldn't give her the phone, and I asked him if I was adopted, he wouldn't say no.
He just changed the subject. Yeah. Or tried to. And he said that you're my daughter in every way. And when she says, am I your daughter biologically, like with sperms and eggs and coming out of mom's vagina at a hospital near where we live, he won't answer her anymore. Mm-hmm. He says,
she also called for birth records first, right? Before that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she called the hospital.
She couldn't find any birth records as well. So
for her or her sister. Mm.
Yeah. Because it's clear that their siblings, like, they looked very similar, but yeah. Anyway, so it's a whole thing. And then she's talking to Barons later, and she's like, maybe I should tell him about what happened, but also I don't necessarily want him to, I don't trust him. Which, like,
she has no reason to trust him.
Fair. Understandable.
I mean, he has saved her life a couple of times, but he needs her to be the oop sniffer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily that he cares about her.
And now we get teach her to fight times, because he's like, yes. You have this spear and it needs to go with you everywhere. I want you to shower with it. And I want you to sleep with it.
We haven't stated explicitly, but this spear is one of the few things that can kill a fae.
Yeah.
As it's one of the fae, like, relics or whatever.
Oh, yeah. That's why she ends up about this. Naked on the ground and everyone can see her is at the museum. She whips it out of her purse to show Vlaine, like, don't fuck with me. And he's like, he looks scared for the first time ever. And he just disappears. And that's when she's titties out for the whole world.
Yes, so exactly. Well,
it's interesting because there's unseelie relics and there's seelie relics. And I think the rule is that the Seelie can't touch their relics and the Unseelie can't touch their relics or something like that. Okay. There's some sort of, like, technicality where it's like, and I can't remember which way it goes now, but, like, there's some demarcation where some people can't touch some people's relics. So that becomes, like, a thing where that plays into.
How could he touch that Cuffy boy then?
Maybe it's a magical object and not a relic. I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah. There's different objects of power that aren't relics.
Like Hallows versus the regular magical object. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Well, and I was thinking about this because, like, this old lady is, like, truly mercenary, you know? It's everyone for themselves with these she-seers. And I was shoveling this morning. And I was thinking about it and being like, man,
your favorite activity.
I know. It's been like 4,000 years and they haven't figured out, they haven't, like, organized, you know what I mean? They haven't, like, figured out a way to protect each other or, like, found some weapons or whatever. But yeah, they don't have weapons that will kill the Fae.
I would say that if they are organized, she's on the outside of that. So she doesn't know at this point.
I got the
whether
vibe
there
that
is organization.
There is an organization. She's just completely outside of the circle of trust.
Well, so like an O'Donnell won't protect an O'Connor because she knows that she's an O'Connor of some sort.
Yeah, but she's not her O'Connor, you know? Like, she's outside
of the...
Like,
is it a Hatfields and McCoy thing?
Maybe.
Well, they brought... I mean, the old lady was like, what the hell is wrong? I think that it's mostly that she's this old without knowing anything and how to protect herself.
Yeah, I think that's a lot
like
of it.
She doesn't associate with idiots, maybe.
Maybe. She has no she doesn't suffer fools.
Yeah, perhaps.
And, like, I loved, like, the explanation that the reason, like, she could see them this entire time, but she's never left her fucking tiny little hamlet in Georgia. And, like, why would the Fae go there?
Yeah.
Why would any
they don't have any reason to
go to Georgia?
Yeah, like specifically this like tiny town.
That he calls it too provincial.
Well, and it's not like you associate the Fae with the U.S., you know? Like, I feel
exactly,
like...
Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not this
I feel
flavor
like
of
they
Fae.
Have to be too... Like, they have to overrun Ireland to then go international, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, when those
But later on, we know they
out...
do. We find out that within a year, and not necessarily 30, there are international dark spots.
Huh. Yes, this is true. This
wow.
is true. I really didn't like the idea of just 30 shades chilling in a matchbox, you know?
That was a creepy thought. That yeah. you could just, like, infiltrate a place.
Accidentally. And... They're like bed bugs. But yeah. they're gonna murder
Husk
you.
Husk you and eat you.
To a parchment.
And yeah. confetti you.
The shades are really this one of the scarier inventions in this book, particularly.
Mm. Yeah. So he's decided, like, time to help her learn how to kill Fae, essentially. Which, like, there's really not a whole lot to learn. Stab them with a spear. Or I thought there wasn't a whole lot to learn, but boy, she fucks it up this first time.
Yeah.
Because she finds the gray man and is following him down the road. And apparently Fae who, or unsealed, whatever, Fae in general, that have their glamour up, like, there's like this invisible force pushing people away from them because the glamour isn't touchable, it's just visible. And so he is wandering like
oh
a
God,
creepy
can you imagine walking down
stick
the street
man.
Thinking you ran into somebody's trench coat, but then walking away with like goo all over you because it's actually a pustule of some sort?
The explanation that this can is you? Why I can't get too into conspiracies or like things like this that okay. explain things in a way that freak me out. is like when she's like literally this book, this was one of those books where I was like, oh no. Is this, like, I know this isn't real, but also, like, the explanations here are uncomfortably well thought out.
Yeah.
And, like,
if you ever trip over your own feet, you're actually, like, avoiding a Fae glamour, like, without
yeah.
realizing it.
I don't, yeah. as somebody who trips a lot,
yeah. as somebody who has spatial awareness issues?
Yeah.
Listen, babe, that's just the neurodivergence. That's not the Fae.
It is. Fine. That's the ADHD.
Don't worry about it.
Okay, I'll take that. I'll accept
it's
that.
Tough.
And so she basically looks at him. Oh, and the old lady called her like a Priya, and she doesn't mm-hmm. know what that is. But
means
she
a fairy
does.
Slut.
Slut.
She... Yeah.
It means a fairy like... addict is what
uh-huh.
it is, actually.
And so she, like, the gray man turns around.
Yeah, he's like, hey girl, I've seen you before. What's up?
And she's oh, why like, are you staring at me?
I yeah, and she's like, me. I want to be up on you so much. I'm such a Priya and I'm into it.
And then he just appears in front of her and she was, he tells her, oh, she he tells her to get on her knees. And I love that she's like, what is all of these fairies' deals with getting us on their knee, our knees? Like,
yeah.
I'm like, really? Do you have to?
That
they,
feels like a universal
they feel like
sentiment,
they should be
ma'am.
Worshipped. You know, like, yeah. That's also the best place to suck a Fae penis. Like,
ew. Yeah.
So
hopefully
he
doesn't
does,
have a pustule on it.
It's cool.
What do you want from me? Karen Marie Monning did it, not me.
Not that. That is
she
not what
did.
I want. For you did not have to remind. I had forgotten
well,
this dude
so
had pustules all over him.
Gets
until-
on her knees and he sifts, which is a word for.
Apparating.
Yeah, like apparating.
For teleporting.
In front of her.
Tracing.
Yeah.
Tracing.
So he sifts in front of her and she's not expecting it. And all of a sudden he has her by the hair. And so she's dangling 5-10 feet in the air by her hair.
So high.
And she's like, don't worry though, my hair is really strong. Like, I was like.
Weird statement.
Okay.
Is your neck strong?
Like, what the fuck?
Is your scalp?
Yeah.
And she has frozen him, managed to freeze him by putting her hands on him. In that position. So she's just stuck there dangling.
But her purse is on the ground so she can't get to her spear. And yeah. the barons from the top of a building is like...
Like, how did he get up there?
Is like, wow, you're really bad at like, this.
You managed to fuck it up.
And then he drops down like a panther.
Yeah. And then he comes down and he gives her a little talk. He doesn't help her until...
No.
He basically gives her a talking to.
And then once he unfreezes, he's going to sift away with you and you're going to be screwed. So
yeah.
think it through next time.
Yeah,
but then
basically
he stabs
like
him and he,
I want you to sew this spear to your body.
Yeah. Surgically attach it to your hand, please. Learn to write with the other one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, but then he does stab it through the purse and apparently doesn't touch it. Rebecca.
And then the thing starts leaking a green-blue situation. A green-gray situation, question mark.
Is that important?
It was important to me.
Sabrina questions the importance of this act.
No, it was really, it stuck with me, is what it did.
A lot about the gray man did. I didn't remember that he was covered in pustules. I didn't. You're just like, I am a gray man expert.
I don't like sneaky decay. Don't do that in front of me. Stop decaying in front of me. I don't ask much, you know?
Stop being a gross little bitch, okay?
Yeah. Don't leak on me.
Keep that to yourself. I can co-sign don't leak on me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, and so...
Especially not sneakily. If you're going to leak on me, I want to see it happen. Like, don't... I don't need sneaky leakage.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. No sneaky leaky.
A lot about the gray man really freaked me out.
See, and it's so funny that that's the stuff that stuck with you about it, because what stuck with me is that his head is like 4 inches wide and like 3 feet long.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
That,
it's almost like a scythe.
I don't like the stick man.
Totally.
He reminds me of like the stick bugs, but he's going to suck the beauty
but
out
gooier.
Of you. Yeah, so see, sad. I have zero memory that he's wet, you know?
He's always like wet, it. Like Jonathan Groff, he is wet all the time.
Yes. Yeah, except it's not just coming out of his mouth, it's coming
just
out of everything.
Spouting all the time.
Oh, gross. So she's decided that it is the time to go to the alleyway that her sister died in. And she gets there. And
yikes.
She's seen the crime scene photos because somehow her dad got the actual, like, graphic pictures.
Yeah.
And she sits down in the alley, the exact same position that her sister was found in dead.
Yeah.
And her sister, BT Dubs, was found with little, like, teeth/needle marks all over her whole body and maybe face, question mark.
Yeah.
And... so it was like an extremely unusual way to die. And
well,
also nobody seems to care. He's
she's
an addict. Look at her needle tracks. And she's like needles all over her whole body that stabbed her until she was dead.
That's not how that works.
Addict times.
Well, yeah, because we haven't really talked about it, but she's been doing a little investigate on her own outside of her oops searching with Barons. And so she's gone to like the school, and apparently her sister was acting very out of
character,
that's the word, very out of character the last couple of months. Like, she always remembered her sister as this like very studious, very like loved learning, was so excited about Dublin, and everyone remembered her sister as like missing, skipping class, not caring. She had some kind of boyfriend, and then like nobody was shocked that she showed up dead in an alley.
People described the first part of her foray to Ireland just like Mac remembers her sister. And then something happened and her whole personality changed, according to her peers. So she's thinking that, like, maybe this boyfriend had something to do with it and she wants to find boyfriend.
So I have a question, Rebecca. This boyfriend, why does nobody remember him?
Is he Druid?
Such a good question.
So when she's down there, she moves around some trash. She's not going to tell us. She moves around. You should see Sabrina's face, listener. She's so mad. She moves around some trash and she finds like her sister's compact. And then she sees the shining tip of her sister's nail file. It's all like bent up and fucked up. And so she moves that and she realizes that her sister scratched an address onto the ground. It's like 127 LaRue Jr.
You can remember that?
God damn, I know.
Yeah,
I know, but
like
I can't remember regular character names.
I can't believe you just remembered LaRue.
I know.
Wow. Okay. Continue.
I think it's because later on the police officer talks about looking for it with different spellings. And so that's why I could remember it.
So she goes to the police and she's like, where is this address? And how come you haven't followed up with this? And isn't this her compact? And like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And he's like, there was lots of trash in the alley, which seems honestly like a really dull excuse. And the address could have been from anything, which also seems like a really weird excuse.
Well, also, and like, he looked
it up. We couldn't find
it,
so it doesn't exist. So what do you want from us? And
she's like, to do your job.
Just like anything. I want anything from you.
But she leaves. And long story short, after a while, she realizes that they can't find the address because it's in a current dark zone. Mm-hmm. It used to exist according to humanity, and now it does not anymore.
And then
yeah,
she realizes this because she's looking on maps and can't find it. And then she thinks to herself, which I don't, this entire book, I was like, ma'am, you're living in a bookstore right now. A gigantic bookstore.
She keeps on going elsewhere for things like
for
maps.
For information. And I'm like, the information is probably right at your fingertips. And guess what it was? She goes and finds an old map that is from oldie times and finds LaRue.
From a year before.
But also, like, wait.
Yep.
Like, this thing didn't make any sense.
It doesn't make sense.
Like, was
it's
that...
so, the continuity is so bad because everyone has an old map in their house that would have all of these things on it. Like, nobody goes and buys a new map every year.
Right.
Like, it's just, especially in a place like Dublin, which
is... And,
like, is...
if it rewrites maps, does it stop at 100 years ago? Is the magic only good for 100 years? All
so the
maps that
I
were
took
created
that,
in
I,
that time?
Actually, I had no questions there. In my mind, it was that, like, it goes in one eye and out the other kind of thing. Like,
but she finds it on a map, and it's not on the other maps.
She doesn't
find
it on
the
other
maps.
New maps.
She compares new maps to old maps, and it's not there. But everyone keeps old maps. Nobody reuses their maps every year. So I don't understand.
Yeah. No, but what I'm saying is, like, yeah, a bunch of people at their house probably have, or definitely have, old maps that have this on there, but they just don't. It's like it doesn't exist as far as the humans are concerned.
Oh, but if she can see it on
one,
then she would have seen it on the one that she got at the tourist shop, too.
No, yeah. But I don't think that the making the new maps, they don't register that it exists. It's the same way that these people can walk through these dark zones, but it's not like they're going to remember, they don't remember those street names.
No, I know. But like, are you thinking that the map was created in between
when it was
the
not a
four
dark
months?
Zone?
No, it would have to be created when it's a dark zone.
So
anything
the old
before,
maps were made when those roads and that part of the city existed for all of the humans.
Yeah.
And then the new map is after that. But it's like...
So it happened within the last 8 months? Because that's
then,
how long her sister's
so
been there?
So someone who has an old map that is not a she-seer wouldn't necessarily register that
yeah,
there's
it's like
parts
they, like,
of the map that
they can see it, but it
wrong.
Doesn't actually, like, process in
see,
their brain.
See, yeah, I don't like that
so.
Theory.
No.
I understand what you're saying.
Because the only reason I say that is because that neighborhood became a dark zone so recently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're saying that if the map would have to be created after the dark zone happened.
Like, yeah.
So the one that she picked up, the map that she picked up in the tourist shop was designed. It was in the factory with thousands of others. It was shipped overseas. It was stocked in the store. And all of that within the last four-ish months?
Yeah.
Okay.
She said that map was created this year.
I mean, sure, the map was new. But, like, I don't know, man. Not that new. I just feel like...
She says it in the book that this map was created this year.
Yeah, but the dark zones are moving very quickly. Like, streets are being eaten up, like, within days. I don't think the map's moving fast enough
Well, but she also says that LaRue is, like, in, like, very, very much...
LaRue could be further in. You're right.
Inside of the dark zone. Like, I would fully believe that LaRue is, like, towards the center of the dark zone. And that it... happened to be the one. I think my suspicion, and this could be 100% wrong, my suspicion is that that's where the dark zone originates. I think that that's like the epicenter of that dark
zone.
Mm,
mm,
mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like
that
theory.
I could get with
that. I've never thought of that.
Yeah. So anyway.
Interesting. Okay.
So she has decided, she finds it, and she goes into this scary dark zone, and boy, it's creepy. And she follows it exactly, and she gets to this house that is creepy as hell sounding, and she goes in that house, and she's got a weird feeling in her tummy. She's not shitting her pants yet.
Louis the 16th decorated it. It's a fancy one. Is it the 16th? It's the one who built Versailles. It's the mirror boy, okay?
Yeah, anyway. So she gets there, and she goes upstairs. And upstairs in this house, she finds her sister's planner. Not her journal, but she finds her, like, sister's missing stuff that she couldn't find in the apartment. And she also finds a bunch of photos that were...
That was made at a one-hour photo center. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. And do we think it was with a disposable camera or a digital camera?
Oh, absolutely a disposable camera.
It was a disposable one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow, that gave me a lot of
nostalgia. It was so of a time. Yeah.
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 And then to just, like, be carrying them around in an envelope, like, that you got from the photo center...
Yeah.
Just like, because you haven't put them
the
in
date
a...
in the bottom corner.
Yes.
You know?
I went down a whole brain rabbit hole. I didn't actually look anything up, but I did go down a rabbit hole in my brain of, like, how did it know the date? You know? How does it know?
Yeah, they have...
I don't know. Isn't that crazy?
They have it on the photo.
I know, but, like, how does the camera know that's the date?
Yeah, no, I don't know.
The camera, the camera knows.
It's technological magic.
The camera works in mysterious ways, Sabrina.
Is it
technology? I can't question.
Is it magic? I can't tell you which one it is.
Anyway,
they
doesn't
seem
matter.
The same to me at this point.
So she's looking at these photos, though, and she sees her sister's boyfriend for the first
time.
She
sees the progression, though,
of their relationship.
Of her Ireland trip. And, like, it's so happy she's with friends at first. And then it just, you watch her get more and more isolated as the pictures go on. That was so, that I don't know why that was so evocative to me, but, like, it was rough to watch
the
her
author
on
wrote this, like, coming out of an abusive relationship, I believe.
It reminded me of that Opposites Attract book.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Opposite of You. That makes sense. So, yeah. And as a result, she sees who this lady, her sister's boyfriend was. And he has red hair down to his waist.
Mm-hmm. Very
And she's like, how could nobody describe him to me? That's bananas. All you have to say is that he has hair down to his waist. You didn't even tell me the color.
Yeah.
Fuck the color. You just down to his waist? Yeah, I'm going to know who you're talking about anyway. But nobody can because I think he's a druid. ? Rebecca will never tell. And then... she gets really squicky in her stomach.
God, that
and
smug look on your stupid, beautiful face.
I know.
You make
her knowledgeable
face. You make me
face.
So fussy.
And so she follows her tummy ache into a giant factory warehouse that it says is several football fields big.
It's huge.
Wow. That's bananas. And as she goes through, it's, like, you know, abandoned and decrepit and all the things. But she can hear, like, a rustling. And then when she finally gets to a place, she's got her flashlight in one hand and her spear in the other hand. And then she hides behind some pallets because she sees a bunch of the rhino boys in front of a glowing Stonehenge. And there's a bunch, there's, like,
this boy
guy
in a
crimson cloak. Yeah, and he's chanting, and, like, there are different runes on the ground that are glowing different colors. And then
she
realizes...
These rhino boys are basically tour guides for Unseelie coming through.
Yes.
They've been
They're
there
big
for a while.
So... I thought of them as big brothers, you know, like Big Brother, Big Sister.
Yeah.
That program, but for Unseelie coming through. But yeah, the Stonehenge is open. In the middle, and all of this, just a horde of Unseelie coming through. There are wings. There are flippers. There are a bunch of other things. Like, wow, she can't describe it to us because over the course of the next, I don't know how many books, we're going to meet all of them, she says to us. And then, yeah, they get, they meet up with their camp counselors, the Rhino Boys. Everybody splits off into groups. And then they fuck off. But then she realizes that that vampire is there.
Hang on. Before vampire shows up, she decides that this is the perfect time to look off in the middle distance and do some contemplating. Yeah. She's like, this is the perfect time for me to disappear into my brain and work through all of this, you know? Mm-hmm. And then she does come back in to herself and look forward, and a yellow-eyed vampire boy is there. With her, with his big bad buddies. And turns out Vampire Boy is actually a vampire boy.
Yes.
He's a
full
fuck.
Vampire. Mm-hmm. And he's been working with who they've been referring to as the Lord Master. And that's the guy in that red cloak who then closes down the Stonehenge.
Yeah.
But I think then he'll open it up later on again. Mm-hmm. Does he open it up again? I don't know. Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? So nobody. It is impossible to know, actually.
It's true. It's true. Yeah. So she's like, if you're going to notice that I'm sitting right here just squatting and contemplating, then fine. I'll bring the fight to you. So she gets up and they're like, whoa, who are you? You look like that other She-Seer. And she's like, that's because she's my sister and I'm going to murder all of you because you murdered her. And just announces who she is.
Yeah.
Even though she knows that She-Seers are killed on sight in front of Faye.
It was a bold move for her to be like, you know what I'm going to do right
this
now?
This was a Bryce Quinlan move is what this was.
This was a Bryce Quinlan move. She said, you know what? All of these people have no idea who I am. I'm about to tell these people exactly who I am.
Yeah.
And then she magically turns into this, like, Fighty McFighterson, and she's got that
she's
spear.
An Assassin's she's, Creed now.
She's
parkouring all over the place.
Yeah, it was like a sleeper cell agent woke up.
Yeah. She's a Jason Bourne. Yes.
Oh, she is.
Yeah.
She is. And then out of nowhere.
And then he drops out. Yeah, yeah.
He's
Spider-Man's down.
Listener, this is a 37-year-old knees book.
Yeah,
is what
it is. Come on, is what it is. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's a bonus in Brace category.
In this crouch, and he's like, why would you tell them who you are? And then he starts fighting.
Yeah.
Everyone's fighting.
She then stabs that vampire, and then she's like, oh, noes. Magic Jesus spear only works on Faye. It won't kill this vampire. And then he told me he pulled a Rebecca on her, and he was like, yeah, it's really hard to kill a vampire. That's all the information I'm going to give you. I'm not going to give you
and
any
that
tips
comes
and
back
tricks
later.
Anyway, so she stabs this fucker, and then she's like, oh no, I'm standing in front of you with no weapon or recourse whatsoever. And then he backhands her across the room into the wall, curse splat onto the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
she gets a head fracture, a skull fracture, I bet.
Barron's very unhappy about this, and he kicks it up a notch because apparently he wasn't operating on full murder mode.
No.
But he kicks it up.
He puts a couple more spark plugs in.
He's
it's an adrenaline response, you know?
Ooh, because the lady who we found out he has had more contact with than we knew about before has been batted across the room
so
and went for splat
right now.
Skull fracture.
Yeah, so
now
unreliable narrator thing where she's not really aware of what's going on, but she kind of is. And there's maybe a smooch on her head when he picks her up and is running her faster than a human being should be able to run.
Listener, the most romance we get in the first book of the Dark Fever series is a possible kiss on the forehead, but we definitely cannot confirm. That there was definitely a kiss on the forehead. That is the amount of romance.
There were jiggly boobs in the car and a smooch, maybe, on the forehead. I would argue that him painting her fingernails is...
I think that's a big romance.
A big romance.
Okay,
well.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That's
Which hasn't
true.
Happened
I forgot about
yet,
that.
Listener. Because
it hasn't happened
she
yet.
Gets back and she's like, I feel like I should go to the hospital. And he's like, hospitals are for non-She-Seers. You're going to stay here. I've done what I can. And you're going to heal here. And she's like, okay, that's fine. And then we kind of zippy zap to a couple of
to
days
the rooftop.
Later.
They're on the rooftop now.
The coolest conservatory rooftop garden thing.
Why don't I have a conservatory? You know what I mean?
You're
like,
missing
nobody's,
out.
Nobody's gotten me a conservatory.
I know.
And
Michael
I feel
really
like
needs to step it up a notch.
Anybody who knew me would know that, like, one of the best things you could do for me is get me a conservatory. I don't know. I just feel like
slacking.
Everyone in my life is kind of letting me down.
The way that I would love to live in Barron's Books and Baubles or whatever the fuck for my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I could live in that building and never leave, frankly.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
So they're up there, though, and she's still banged up.
Don't worry.
She has like 18 broken bones, but her cheekbone did not fracture. She is still going to be a beautiful lady when
she heals. Her bone structure is intact, y'all. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he's painting her fingernails because she can't do it with her splint. Oh. But she needs her brand new iceberry pink nails.
Yes.
And then
she can have a broken arm, but she cannot have a chipped nail. Thank you so much. She's not taking any more questions.
Uh-huh. And frankly, you don't deserve to ask questions. None of us
That's right.
do.
That's right.
Because she's right. Mm-hmm. And then, out of nowhere, she ruins her nails because all of a sudden she's keeled over half dead because
heaving on the floor, all of the liquid shitting. In her body is coming out of any orifice that, uh-huh. that can possibly come
this
out
is like
of.
This is a quadruple bucket situation.
She gets hit by a
so
Mack
Ill.
Truck. Of morning sickness. And he's like, what's happening
did you do
with
that
you?
There's no way you did that on purpose.
Mack truck.
Did what?
She's Mack.
Oh, God. Mack no, truck. I didn't do that on purpose. So.
Listener.
Yeah, he's like, what's the matter with you? You're leaking everywhere.
Somebody in a car drove past with the Shisa do.
Somebody has it. Somebody has the Shisa do. Somebody found it.
And then
it.
Listener. Bookend.
Book
the
of my
end.
Book.
The
Goodbye.
End.
Yep.
And this isn't the worst cliffhanger that is in this series.
Okay.
This is mild. The cliffhanger where someone dies and she is horrified about who it is and you end the book not knowing who died.
No.
That one was a literal betrayal of everything.
Yeah. I would have
this
big questions about that.
This is one of those moments where I'm really like, you ever just be grateful that you come to a series 20 years after
yeah, totally.
It released?
Totally.
Like, yes, it's dated, and yes, it talks about dial-up versus whatever, and yes, she's
sure.
of
Boy,
the
she
aughts.
Spent some time at an internet cafe.
She
yeah,
sure
but I don't have to wait
does.
For traditional publishing to come out with the next book. That's no. for darn sure.
Uh-huh.
take the good with the bad.
That's right.
Also,
that is right.
We did not touch on this, but we talked about the fact that she called her dad, her family, to find out about the adoption. There's no way her parents don't know something. He's such a cagey little bastard about the
oh,
whole
yeah.
thing. He's like, I just want you to get... I didn't want her to go to Ireland. I did it. We were warned to never let her step foot on that cursed island.
Did somebody...
And we did.
Did he talk about somebody specific warning them? Because I missed that. Or, like, if they were...
I think
if
it's
he was
general
warned.
At this point.
Okay,
yeah.
okay, cool.
At this
so we
point?
Find out later who actually does.
Well, wow. Are mad. You... Do you have, like, a long-lost, immortal-ish, maybe, brother who's kind of an alpha hole, Rebecca?
She's a sneaky
like,
dom is what she is.
You...
Listen, I am the alpha hole, baby.
Yeah. Okay. You know what that tracks.
That
no,
checks
no,
out.
No further questions.
You know what? I'm just the oldest sister, and it shows. That's the problem here.
Yeah, okay. So, like, you're just lording it over it. You're having a great time. I know
I'm
you
having
are.
The best time of my life. But no, I will now take questions sincerely and honestly. But maybe we can cut it out for listener.
Okay.
So,
I don't know.
I'm borrowing the second book
on
our Libby, so...
Yeah, no, I don't know that I want to know, you know?
See, that's
yeah.
that's what I'm saying. Maybe you don't want to know.
Well, because, like, usually I'm fine with spoilers, unless it's Melody Spoiler Princess spoilers, because she has
right.
a tendency of spoiling the book I'm in the middle of reading.
You right. know what I realized the other day, Sabrina? You haven't read the second book in the Taming of of Heart and Mercy situation.
I do still have 23% of that book left.
And I would love to still talk about it months later. Also, what's the status on Leather and Lark so that we can talk about that ever, Sabrina?
It stares me dead in the face from my TBR every time I open StoryGraph.
Interesting, because I don't know that I can even remotely be called a spoiler princess in these cases, for sure.
Guess what?
Wow.
There's a heaving justify yourself. Go ahead. Reading embrace category, because in the middle of reading book, in the middle of the book, you're like, I'm going to tell you about book.
I'm just saying, did you see glitter coming? In either case, did you?
Glitter coming?
Yeah. Did you see the glitter coming?
Oh.
Was that on your bingo card for either book?
I have gotten to that part because that is, if I remember correctly, underboning of Mercy and...
Undermining of... of two people who are in their 40s.
Yep.
I really wish that I could help you to come to some sort of
listener,
accord on this.
But... Here's a spoiler princess thing, but it is necessary in order for you to understand the injustice that I have been dealt in this case. And that is that I have been waiting for months and months and months to talk about glitter dragons. And this bitch,
I would like to remind you,
has a muzzle on me
that you haven't even
glitter
a
dragons.
Gag order.
Hang on, this hasn't even come up in.
I did remember
since,
it the other day while I was like, washing dishes.
The fact that
I was
you're
really
like,
mad about you, it.
Hey, listen, y'all, Rebecca. Actually, I'm explaining to you. I don't even have to
patrons
talk to a listener
were
right
promised
now.
A bonus episode that they
dead
have
in
not
your
gotten,
face, Rebecca, and telling you. This is why we're acting like this. We have a moderator with us right now. We have a mediator. We have somebody to keep us from a punch out. I need you to understand that Melody is acting like
glitter dragons.
She is acting like she has woken up every single morning and texted
me
and said,
things.
Are you done with undermining of Twyla and Frank? Are you
Twyla
done with it yet? And every single day I've said, no. Get fucked, you filthy asshole.
That's exactly
that
what happened.
Is not what has happened.
No. Melody
That's
has done
happened.
An ADHD where she has forgotten that the thing exists and then remembered it with the fervor of someone who has been talking to you about it without interruption.
As if I read it yesterday.
As
glitter
if
dragons.
It happened yesterday. And that is the root of this.
Crafting serial killers.
Mm-hmm.
I have been muzzled.
Yes, the gag order
okay,
is
I don't know if you remember from the beginning of this episode, listener, but Melly's not great at time.
What? What?
And she's acting like all of this has happened over the grand case of 1 week. But
I bet
really,
a patron has been wondering where those episodes are. I bet there's a patron out there who's
there
been like, you're
is.
Right. I have been waiting for the undermining of Twyla and Frank and for Melody to be just unleashed on glitter dragons.
Wow. Wow.
It's like never enough, Sabrina. It's never enough.
I just can't do anything
never enough.
Right in this relationship.
Wow.
The truth comes out.
Okay. Not to take away from the Heart and Mercy and the underminings, sure. But I just want to say for listener that this book is not like super representative always of the series. It is in a way like if you absolutely can't stand the narrator and her voiciness and her whatever, mm-hmm. I get it. Like there's people who are like bounce right off of it and that's fine.
Yeah.
But, like, the amount of, like, action, the twist, the plot,
mm-hmm.
the darkness that the series gets to, the darkness that the character goes through,
ooh.
The stuff, that, like, the things that happen.
Listener, Rebecca did give me a hint of a future darkness that has
more darkness?
Me frothing at the mouth.
There may be a character who goes through some serious...
Yeah, and the obvious
sexual assault
solution to it is
and has to be put back together with more sex,
with more penis,
like, you know, as one does.
I really like that trope for some reason.
I do too.
Yeah,
I do too.
Yeah.
I really like.
There
that
is
trope.
A character whose guts might be taken out and knitted with over and over again because they cannot die, and their guts are being used to like knit a skirt. There may be a character who's lost in, like, a fey multiverse, basically, like, where some of the worlds that they go into are, like, don't have oxygen, and some of them, like, you know, are on fire, and some of them,
whoa,
like, the series goes places that you cannot actually imagine, and when they happen, you're like, what the fuck is happening? And I just, like, I love it for, you know, a lot of reasons,
yeah,
but those reasons. So, yeah. I would just encourage anyone who's on the fence to, like, maybe try the next couple books.
This gets bananas.
Yeah. The bananas and the bonkers come eventually.
And
I love it.
Okay.
I love it. All right.
One of my big questions, does Old Lady come back?
Old Lady comes back in major ways.
Okay.
Major ways?
Mm-hmm. Major ways.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So okay. We've got a dark fever crone. She calls her literally a crone in this book, and it made me really happy.
Mm-hmm. It made me happy, too.
I love a crone.
Mm-hmm.
Does she ever get to drive the fancy car that she's lusting after?
She gets to drive a car in the next book. You see a moment where she drives the car.
Okay. Okay. How many books until we get an actual confirmed kiss?
You know, that's a challenging one.
Rebecca.
That's a difficult one.
Okay, on page. Not, because technically, apparently, according to you, this is our first book with that. But, like, we don't know about it. So, like.
Honestly, okay, and I'm not bullshitting you. I honestly don't remember. Because so much happens
that's
all
fair.
The time that I can't, like, I
okay,
that's fair.
That's fair, though, because, like, I'm not surprised that when you reread this book, you were like, oh, this is all that happens in the first book? Because when I was looking at the series, I was surprised that every book is less than 300 pages, except
for,
like,
they're really, really zippy,
maybe
yeah.
One. Yeah, it's a shorty little book, but it is still, like, 2,000 pages of stuff, all said and done, minimum.
All right, do either of you have lady loves?
Yes. And I will tell you
Rebecca
what mine
does.
Is. My lady love is sharing your particular hyperfixation / special interest on a random Wednesday.
Yeah.
with people you love at random for no reason other than it's just happening. And, like, this was honestly gave me so much joy. Like, the amount of years that I reread this series and then the amount of years that I have it's been since I have read them, like, I got to go back and, like, revisit a special interest that was, like, so far in my past, you know. It's been, like, beautiful. Anyway, this was lovely and I enjoyed every minute of it.
Same.
Aww,
same.
You.
Yeah, when Sabrina called, I was like, no questions, yes. It's an immediate yes.
Yeah. My lady love is a universal mute mic button.
Ooh.
I have that on every device that I own, which is nice because I can't just mute myself on the browser. I can't just mute myself on Audacity. I can't just mute myself on Discord. You know what I mean?
Need
like,
one of those.
There's too many places that are listening to my voice at once for me to be able to go muting everywhere. And so I fixed that. And boy, being able to just hit a single button and nobody has any idea that I'm making noise is fantastic.
Yeah, I need one of those. Oh, it's so brilliant. Mm-hmm. The things you can do when you know about machines, you know? Wow. We're living in the... Sabrina's living in the future. And I'm just here.
With your spreadsheets and your hopes of gardens to
come. I was gonna say
that's true.
You have a plant spreadsheet. You can't even say that. You're light years ahead of me as far as plant spreadsheets.
I made a seed starting spreadsheet and I'm
very
excited. I guess it is now. Yeah, I mean, I think it has to be. Yeah. I've only ever made spreadsheets for like business and tax stuff, you know, or like, you know, budgets when I, you know, when I was paying off all my student loans and I had like a really, really, really strict budget. That's the time I used a lot of spreadsheets. And the other day I realized that the amount of seeds I had was unreasonable. And if I didn't organize myself, I was going to lose the plot. And so I started a hobby spreadsheet with my seeds, with all my seed information. Yes, Sabrina.
Oh my God. You finish, but I have to tell you a second lady love, and it cannot wait. And it has to do with spreadsheets. Continue.
Okay. Yeah, I'm still like not done with the data entry phase. So that's, you know, kind of rough. I think that's the reason like I end up abandoning spreadsheets.
Oh,
like
that's fair.
Using them is really hard for me.
Yeah.
Just like the journals.
Yeah, if they could populate themselves and then I could just reference them, that would be amazing. But I don't have the staff for that right now. So yeah, so a hobby spreadsheet. Ooh.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. All right, Sabrina, what's your lady love that can't wait?
Oh my God, we got an email. Somebody commented on somebody else's cell on the Heaving Bosoms Reading Embrace spreadsheet to say, I love that, or something like that. I don't even remember. I did immediately go look, and it brought me so much joy. We are fostering spreadsheet love,
discourse,
and interaction. And it made me really happy because I got a notification that it had happened. And I literally was like, what the hell is this notification? I've never seen this before in my life. And the reason I've never seen it before in my life is because up until that day, every single person I've ever interacted with has been letting me down. So it was the highlight of my life. I don't remember their name off the top of my head. And thank you. I love you. Love that. And I love you.
Oh, I just learned where you can comment on specific cells of spreadsheets. So like that was a really illuminating day. You know,
it brought me a lot of joy. I also did go down the rabbit hole of like peeking at the HB Embrace spreadsheet.
Hell
and boy,
yeah.
We have some funny people in our little community.
I mean, yeah,
they're very
brilliant.
Entertaining.
I was so sad not to do the Embrace this year. I just couldn't quite muster myself. Mm.
No worries. Mm. You did the Embrace. I remember.
Yeah. You're embraced.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. You're embraced.
You're embraced live up pod.
Mm-hmm. Duh. Oh, thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Wait, are we talking about last year embraced or this year? Actually, no, it doesn't matter. You're embraced.
It doesn't matter. You're embraced.
No. You said we have it to our faces and recorded that you thought about it. So
you thought about it, and there's mm-hmm. that whole thread in the group chat for book recs, and you did that, and so you're embraced.
There you go. Thank you.
Yeah, it's all Dramione.
It's all Dramione all the
time. It's all Dramione. Yeah.
All right, listener.
All right.
Keep being a badass and love yourself.
As much as you love double buckets.
Oh, God. Okay, bye.
Bye.
I asked her if he was a druid earlier. She had the audacity to ask me, wouldn't you like to know?
That is the most her response
I know
I've ever heard in my entire life. Yeah, so Mac is the least mysterious bitch because Rebecca has all of the mystery.
Yeah. Becca's a locked
woman
box.
Of mystery on the Canadian plains.
Thank you for going on this journey with us. Next week, we'll be back with a book that started as a treat for us, but I think is going to also be a treat for you. We'll be recapping Egotistical Puck Boy by Eden Finley and Saxon James. In the meantime, check out Rebecca's wonderful, cozy, contemporary romances. She writes as Lynn Camden, and her website is in the show notes. Heaving Bosoms is produced by us, Melody Carlisle and Sabrina Bradley. Editing is done by me, Melody Carlisle. Our theme music is by the incredible singer-songwriter Brittany Fonts, and our art is by the ultra-talented author Kate Pryor. If you like our show, remember to follow us on your favorite podcast app, Rate us 5 stars and leave a review. That one small action is a huge way to help the show. If you want to get in touch with us for advertising inquiries or anything else, you can email us at heavingbosomspodcast@gmail.com. If you want more of us, visit patreon.com/heavingbosomspodcast. You can also find us on Instagram at heavingbosoms, on TikTok at heaving_bosoms, and in our Facebook group, the Heaving Bosoms Geriatric Friendship Cult. See you next week.